title of my message here this morning is, yes, it does matter what you believe. It does matter what you believe. Isaiah 55 in verse number 10. Isaiah 55 in verse number 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, and it that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." All of that is a principle laid out to come to verse number 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." He said, the words that come out of my mouth are like rain. And rain has its purpose. Rain has its purpose to water, to make things grow, that they would bud, that they would reproduce, come to fruition, and start all over again, blessing everything that it touches. You and I have to understand this morning that the Word of God, when it goes forth, its intended purpose is to water you, that you might grow and produce fruit and give it away to somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It shall not return void. Now, I know some people like myself, you think more water is better. Sometimes that's not the case.
Right.
I have done this before and watered things and drowned in them.
Right.
And they die. Sister Marty's the green thumb in the church. She knows you need to water this, but don't overwater it, or else you're going to damage it. But it needs the appropriate amount of water, and when it gets the appropriate amount of water, it grows, it flourishes, it does everything that God intended it to do. We need the appropriate amount of water in our lives. Amen. There can be an oversaturation point. Yes, there can.
Yeah.
Amen. And then there can be a dry place where it's not getting enough. Amen. But it shall accomplish that which I please. The Word of God is going to accomplish something in our lives as God sees fit. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Let me start here by saying bad information is toxic. Bad information is toxic. The wrong information will eventually poison the entire system. The principle behind toxicity and how it works is the same that it is with pesticide and herbicide, and how it works on the system. Herbicide kills because it is a hormone, basically, that gives the plant bad information. It gives the plant bad information. It tells the plant to grow faster than its capacity to absorb its substances, its nutrients. It literally grows itself to death. You can look it up. You can go back and read it. I'm giving you a very short version. There's a whole bunch of complicated, convoluted stuff I'm not going to go into. I'm just giving you the basis. So literally, when you put herbicide on something, you are sending it bad information to grow much faster than it's capable, literally making itself grow itself to death because of the bad information. Yet, the casual observer, you will see nothing is amiss for a while. And I've done this many times. I've sprayed something, and I went back the next day, and I've looked, and nothing happened. Now, some of you are probably like me. You go out, you go get the weed killer, put some more on. You're like, man, it didn't respond. It ain't working. And And so then we oversaturate it, and nothing grows there for 5 years. Or something of that nature. But you understand what I'm trying to say, is sometimes you may look at it and say, nothing's happening. And you come back the next day, and it doesn't look like anything's happening. Then, and there's been times that I've sprayed certain weeds that I thought grew. And guess what? It did. It did. It did to a degree, but it overstimulated it to where it actually died out. Very interesting how some of those things work. One of the toxic ideas in today's Christianity circles is, it doesn't matter what you believe. It's toxic information. It doesn't matter what you believe. It only matters who you believe in.
Right.
But that's not what the Word says.
Right. Right.
That's not what the Scripture says. Now, somebody may have got that right idea and pinned it, and some people got on that bandwagon and say, man, that sounds good, because that allows me to do whatever I want to do, live however I want to live, and I can still be appeased in my conscience.
Right.
Amen. So I want to go through the Word with you today and explain some things. Many would have you believe that one of the greatest accomplishments in modern day Christianity over the last 30 to 20 years has been dismantling doctrinal differences in favor of growth and unity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The world religion, modern Christianity, has continually pushed for the ideology of growth and unity, and has despised, rejected, dismantled doctrine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Could it be that someone has been fed some toxic information by saying, let's leave some of these differences out, all in the name of growth, all in the name of unity? Don't get me wrong, God is for unity, but God is for unity God's way.
Right.
Not man's way.
Right.
Not a religious organization's way.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. False doctrine, may I say this morning, is spiritual herbicide. It'll kill your spiritual man.
Yes.
Individuals that ingest this type of philosophy, ideology, theology, still think that they are growing spiritually, but they never realize they have been fed toxic information. And that's why we have this, what we would call a turnover rate in churches today, because of toxic information. They've gotten there and they've said, only believe and everything's going to be all right. You're saved. Poof. Everything's perfect. Lo and behold, they go on life's journey and everything ain't perfect. Everything is chaos. Everything is, there's so many difficulties and this and that and the other. They don't understand. But they've been told that, poof, just believe and everything's fine.
Right.
It's toxic information that is destroying real Christianity. Because real Christianity is going to produce the Christ-like things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
To be a Christian, the real definition is to be Christ-like. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not going to call myself a Christian. Number one reason is, as I know myself.
Right.
I know my weaknesses. I know my inadequacies. I know my faults and my failures. And some may say even this morning, well, then why am I even listening to you? This is the difference between modern day Christianity. They want you to believe everything's okay. They have learned how to fake being a Christian, how to walk or how to talk, but not how to walk it.
Right.
I'm going to prove to you in the scripture some of these things are happening. It's not that I feel like I need to prove to you necessarily anything. I want you to understand, though, that there's toxic information out there that people are ingesting, and they think it's good for them, and they think that they're growing, and then all of a sudden they keel over and die because they can't handle something that's going on. Or they see something that isn't right, and they lose their faith. Why? Because their faith has not been in the doctrines of God, but have been in the doctrines of men.
Right.
And so we must be very diligent. The Bible said those that were at Thessalonica were more noble than them in Berea because they sought out the scripture whether it be so. It wasn't necessary that they were challenging the preacher and challenging him what he was preaching. What they were doing is they were taking in the doctrine of the Word of God and then getting it for themselves. And that's the problem with a lot of people today. They say, well, what? This one says this, and that one says this, and that one says that. You're right. It's the religious organization that says this and says that.
Right.
And people have bought into it. There are some of you here today that you once were bound by that and bought into the ideology of religion saving you. And that's why you were so steeped in religious ritualism.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And that's why you did certain things, because the religion dictated to you what you had to do. But not so with a relationship with God. Everything that I do today is because of my relationship with God. As I get closer, I want to be more like Him.
Amen.
I'm not looking to be more like society. I'm looking to be more like Him.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on. That is a problem that we are facing. It's a crisis that we are facing today, because people will identify to a religion and its standards and its code of ethics and whatever and whatever, when it has nothing to do necessarily with God.
Right.
And so true doctrine, let me say this, true doctrine liberates every soul that obeys it. True doctrine, when you see it, it is a revelation. I'm getting ahead of myself. It is a supernatural fertilizer that brings growth and transformation through the power of God. Give you more. The word doctrine occurs 50 times in your Bible. And it always means, I'm going to condense it into a nutshell, the substance of something taught. Doctrine. The substance of something taught. The gospel writers repeatedly recorded that the crowds were astonished at Jesus's doctrine. Not because his style was so phenomenal. Not because his charisma was wonderful. Not because he was wearing the latest and greatest. Not because of where he lived and what he drove. Not because of how big the auditorium was. How fancy the edifice was. But what drew the people and what astonished them about his doctrine was the substance of his doctrine translated into something that was supernatural. They had never experienced the real power of the doctrine. And so when they heard Jesus, they saw something different. They saw something that changed. They saw something that made a difference in people's lives. He taught with anointed authority. The Bible doctrine is more than musty subject, a stuffy subject. for theologians. I had one of my kids just ask me the other day, they had somebody ask me at work, well, what are you? And that's kind of funny. What are you? What do you mean, what am I? What do I look like? I'm a human. I'm a human. Everything's fine. I got two legs just like you do, 10 toes, 10 fingers, you know? Everything's cool. I'm a human. No, what are you? What are you? Something's different about you that ain't like everybody else. And that ought to be the question that people ask. And not in an arrogant way, say, oh, well, I'm a Christian and you're a sinner. That's what's different. Whoa, easy. You lost that. You're done. You're done. Matter of fact, you're an idiot if you say something like that.
Right.
Man, that was strong verbiage coming from a preacher. No, you're an idiot. That's no way to work and help somebody and love somebody and to teach them and say and to show them.
Right.
They already notice something's different. And they say, well, are you this? Are you that? No, I'm not that. No, I'm not that either. Well, what are you? Then you tell them, you give them one phrase and you throw a phrase out. Well, I'm apostolic. And they go, what's that? What? Yeah. Well, that's what I kind of figured. Apple who? Yeah, that's what they say. Well, I'm Pentecostal. Oh, I know that. And some people go, well, I don't even know what that is. What is that? Well, some say, I know that. And then you go, oh, no, what did I just say? What did I just say? What is their ideology? What is the what have they heard? What have they read? Because you just throw a name out there, and if you say you're Catholic, everybody knows you bow down to the priest, you worship the Mother Mary. Got a heart murmur. Right?
Yeah, right.
You do certain things. They already know because that's what the religion has said.
Right.
And if we're not careful as being real Christians, being Christ-like, it'll be a name on a board. It'll be a sign out in front. It'll be a name that makes you who you are. Mm-hmm. But is that really what it's all about?
Right.
Is that really what it's all about? You say, man, you are mean. You just picked on them Catholics. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize. But that's why there's some that only go once a year, maybe twice a year, because there's nothing there. It's a dead religion. It's a religion that doesn't bring any long living satisfaction.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not trying to beat any of you. If you're Catholic, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to help you today and give you something better that's more supernatural than anything you've ever experienced in your life. You don't have to look at the church, if you will, as being dry and boring and dead and not excited. And you don't have to live in distress and oppression and confusion and in fear, like you heard this young lady say, God doesn't give us. You know why that young lady just said? Because she found a supernatural power in the things of God that has changed, that absolutely revolutionized her world. So she doesn't think like many other young people think. I'm not afraid like fear would like to get a hold of me.
That's right.
Because of supernatural power of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me move on quickly. The Apostle Paul prophesied that at that time will come. The time will come. The time is here. But he said in 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That lets us know in the Word of God that there's going to be doctrine out there that is not going to be sound.
Right.
That is not going to be true. Yeah. That is not going to be according to the Word of God. No generation, I believe, has fulfilled that scripture better than ours. Yet, we are a people and a nation that is so steeped in religion.
Yes.
How ironic is that? How ironic is that? having people that cannot endure sound biblical doctrinal teaching of what the Word of God says, but we're the most religious nation in the world, condoning everything, embracing everything, all for the name of growth.
Unity.
Do you see how it's a spiritual herbicide? Oh, we want to grow, so let's just all get together. So many so-called churches have rejected doctrinal preaching and called it dogmatic, which is seen as a harsh, unloving, even some have said old-fashioned and obsolete thing. But the scripture said in 2 Timothy 3:5, by doing so, they have unwittingly joined the ranks that the scripture says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Many are walking around talking and saying that they are a Christian, but deny the power to be really Christ-like.
Right.
And as I've said before, I'll say it again, being a Christian is a lifelong journey. It is not some... Oh, God, help us today. Because some people have the concept and the ideology, the thought that Christianity or being a Christian is some place that you arrive. Boom, here I am. I'm a Christian. No, Christianity is a lifelong endeavor. It is one day at a time, week after week, month after month, year after year. You are developing. You are becoming a man, what God wants you to be, what God desires you to be.
Amen.
It is something that is ever going on in the life of an individual. So I never arrive. I never get to a place where I have become the epitome of Christianity. No, sir, and no, ma'am. I am in a continual process of growth. Daily, because of my relationship, he draws me closer to him, and I see his ways that are far above my ways, and I see this glaring light in my life that I need to change. I need to work here on my attitude. I need to work here on this or on that, because it's a...
Amen.
Darkness really is not real. Darkness is only the absence of light.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness is not real. Darkness is only the absence of light. Your darkness is not real. It's just absence of light. But once the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ starts to shine in, it may just be a small, tiny prick light, a pin light that comes and points at a specific spot. But as the light gets closer, it illuminates more and more, pushing back the darkness of the enemy of our soul. And so that light is ever encroaching upon the darkness of humanity, the darkness of the enemy and the right to control. The more you get of the light, the more you become like him.
Yes. Amen.
What is this all about? What am I living for God for? What am I going to church for? I am striving daily to become more like him. I want his attitude. I want his thought process. I want to love like him. I want to be gentle like him. I want to be meek like him. I want to be kind like him. Am I there? No, I'm not. Am I striving? Yes, I am.
Yes.
Amen.
And there are days where that, as the light is penetrating that darkness and pushing it back, it does become more difficult. Then there are other times that light just goes and pushes it back faster than I can even begin to imagine. But it's all due to my relationship.
Yes.
with him. I hope this morning I'm getting somewhere into your mind and your heart and your thought process. Here's a statistic of exactly what I'm preaching about. Listen, nearly 60% of Americans who regularly attend Christian churches say there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit.
Really?
60% of regular attendees say there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit. But what they will say is that the Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's power, is a symbol of God's presence, is a symbol of God's purity. But I'm here today to tell you the doctrinal truth that God's Spirit is more than just a symbol of power. Because he came to live on the inside of me and dwell inside of this man, where I didn't have the strength to say no to sin, where I didn't have the strength to quit lying, where I didn't have the strength to quit cheating. The power of God is more than a symbol. It can keep you from the very things that you detest about yourself. There are people who throw in their hands and just quit and said, there's just no hope. I just can't quit these things. I'm addicted. I can't quit. Yes, you can, because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is more than a symbol, my friend. That's a doctrine that wants to be taught so everybody just continues to live the way they are, to be contented just the way they are. But there's something more for you today. There is a healing. There is a deliverance. There is a place that the power of God can shake you free from the things that you despise about yourself. Maybe you finally got to the place where you enjoy being mad. Where you enjoy fighting. Where you enjoy turmoil. Where you enjoy anxiety. Where you enjoy confusion. But friend, I don't enjoy any of those things. And many of those things I have experienced. But something got a hold of me called the Spirit of God. Not simple, but the real Spirit of God got a hold of my life. Anymore. I don't have anxiety anymore. I'm not confused anymore. Because it really does matter what you believe. It matters the type of information that you are receiving and taking on board. I pray today I'm putting hope back into somebody's life. I'm giving you an opportunity to see something differently. You may have even come and you may have even been here a couple of times and are just waiting to see if it's really different.
It's real.
Yeah. Is this really different than anywhere else? Is this really different? Is a woman, and you say, well, I can feel something different. I don't know what it is. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. What you feel is the real power of the Holy Ghost. What you feel is different. Because some of them were addicted to drugs. Some of them were addicted to alcohol. Some of them were addicted to sexual immorality. Some no more addicted to all the other things of culture.